All right, I think that for anyone who studied in yeshiva, the name Reb Chaim Soloveitchik stands in a category all by itself, even though we always deal with many gedolim, but Reb Chaim, his Torah was so innovative. He came up with such a new method of learning. It's something that the Ridbaz, that Reb Rafal Yaakov David Wolofsky called kimia, chemistry. And he was he didn't mean it in a positive fashion, but Reb Chaim's Torah is a type of chemistry in a sense, because it deals with stirot and suddenly poof, and he's able to give responses. I heard from Rav Abba Braunspiegel once said that he quoted the Beis Halevi, that the Beis Halevi compared his own learning with Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, and the Beis Halevi said that with his own learning, somebody would come to him with a question, and the person would feel happy that he had a question, and the Beis Halevi would be happy that he'd given him an answer. But he said, with my son Reb Chaim, the question's not a question, and the answer's not an answer. In other words, there's no question, and in the middle there's no answer, so the person who comes isn't so happy, and the Rav's not so happy. But Reb Chaim, his Torah was so beautiful, there'd be contradictions, and then all is poof, and then he comes with the chakira, and then everything becomes clear. It's like a person who's in the forest, in the Lashon of the Gemara, with all the thorns and thistles, and the chai ra'od, and then like a bolt of lightning comes and lights up the day. That was Reb Chaim's Torah. Any event, here in this yeshiva, we've been very blessed to have, in the history of the yeshiva, first some Talmidim who learned directly from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. That's the Maitreya Ilui, Reb Shlomo Palachek, and Reb Shimon Shkup. And so many, and then from the family itself, we've had Reb Chaim's son, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, his grandson, Reb Yosef Dova Levi Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and now we have Rav Tursky, and we had Rav Marcus, and we have Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, who's also part of YU. So I thought it would be only appropriate, today is the 100th Yortzeit, that we speak words of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and I'm very grateful that Rav Simon agreed to speak today, I don't think we would have had this event had he not agreed, and I want to acknowledge the presence of Rabbi Ezra Schwartz here as well today, and thank you all for coming. And now we'll hear some Torah from Rav Simon.
Thank you, Rabbi Goldstein. I have to express the fact that Rabbi Goldstein, it's his idea to have this keynote here today as the 100th Yortzeit of Reb Chaim. Chof Aleph Menachem Av, Tov Reish Ayin Ches is the Tira of Reb Chaim, and now we stand 100 years later. So the Yosher Karuch really goes to Rabbi Goldstein for this idea. As Rabbi Goldstein mentioned, you know, in our yeshiva there are many connections to Reb Chaim, you know, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav, Reb Aaron Soloveitchik, different individuals. But it always, chills always go through my body when I'm here. I'm usually here on Shavuos. And when they have the Yisker on Shavuos, so Rabbi Israel Reis, used to, at Yisker, they would have all the names of all the Rosh Yeshivas who were Nifter, and they would say names. Now Rabbi Moshe Abrams does it. And when it would come to Rabbeinu Moshe ben Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi, so, you know, you see a direct connection. He's one of the people that are being mentioned, even though he wasn't here, but Rabbeinu Moshe ben Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi is mentioned in this list. More, not as well known, Reb Chaim was born on Purim and Tofresh Yud Gimel in Volozhin. And I would like to point out several ideas. You know, obviously we're not here to give a hesped to such an Adam Gadol. We're not roid to give such a hesped. But I think there's certain things that from Svarim, from things I've heard, that just will give us a chizuk. You know, that's and that chizuk should be Eloi Neshama for Rav Chaim. And I think all these things could be fit into to this idea of Purim, that he was Nolad B'Purim. And I'd like to divide it into the three sections of the Mishnah Pirkei Avos of Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. Torah, as Rabbi Goldstein mentioned, you know, everyone knows the Briska Derech, the Tzveidinim, the whole Mahalach of yeshivas today, even the other yeshivas that had their own Derech in Europe, became briskers today. You know, that became the thing. Even other yeshivas that had unique drachim and learning, that became the mahalach in the way yeshivas learning today. But certain points that Gabe Limud HaTorah, I was zochet to have a very close relationship with Rabbi Berish Mandelbaum, who was the librarian here in YU from 1948 to 1998. And I was even Zolche, even in the years that he was not able to come to the yeshiva anymore, I would go visit him in his daughter and son-in-law's house in Brooklyn. And he was a tremendous bucky in Sfarim. He himself was a big Talmud Chacham, bucky in Sfarim. And he would talk to me sometimes about Rav Hirsch Glickson. Rav Hirsch was the son-in-law of Rav Chaim. Most of us, not a well-known figure. Most of us, most of us never heard of him. I probably wouldn't have heard of him either had Rabbi Mandelbaum not have mentioned it to me. And he'd say to me, you know, Rav Chaim was most impressed by Rav Herschel Glickson, of his Bekiyas and Mishnayis. His Bekiyas and Mishnayis. You wouldn't have thought that would be the thing that would impress Rav Chaim, Bekiyas and Mishnayis, but it's the idea of Ligris Inish V'Hadar Lizbar, as the Gemara says. First you have to know the basic Yediyas, and then you can build upon that. So that was Rav Hirsch Glickson, the Yediyas of Rav Herschel, that when he was impressed with his son-in-law in that Nakuda. There's a sefer called Pnine Rabbeinu Yecheskel. I was zochet to have met the Gadol Rav Moshe Mordechai Schulzinger in Bnei Brak. He was an off-the-charts Talmud Chacham. It was more than that. It was his slavas for learning. I was zochet once to speak to him in learning in Bnei Brak. So he has a tremendous affinity for the Gedolim, especially the Gedolim that he knew. And he wrote on the Briska Rav, he wrote on Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, and he writes from Yecheskel Abramsky, he remembers the demus of Rav Chaim in Minsk, standing for 6 hours over the sugya of Kinyan Peiros Kinyan Haguf. In other words, Rav Chaim was an omel. As great as he was an omel. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, well, somebody once came to Rabbi Yecheskel for smicha, and so he assumed, he said, you know you're a daya, so I'll trust you know you're a daya. But I want you now to say over a shtickle from Rabbi Chaim al Rambam. What does that have to do with anything? So he said, because I'm not going to give you smicha unless I see you have a havana, that you're a lamdin. And if you can't say over a shtickel from Rabbi Chaim that's lacking in Havana, then I'm not going to give you. So we're waiting for the smicha is pending that you say over a shtickel from Rabbi Chaim. That's what Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky said. And that's the idea. You know, Purim is the Yontif of Torah Shebal Peh, Hadar Kiblua, because the original Kabbalah HaTorah of Torah Shebal Peh was under duress. So they reinserted. So that was Rabbi Chaim was our Mesorah Torah Shebal Peh of Havana, like our Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik points out that, and Rav Ranspiegel quotes in the Sefer, that Mishnah, Torah Shebal Peh, is called Mishnah, Lashon Vishinantam, understanding. That's the famous Mogen Avram and Alter Rebbe, that if you just say Torah Shabbal Peh, you read the Gemara and you don't understand it, so you don't understand the words. It's not like Chumash, where it's good to understand Chumash too, but if you just read Chumash, it's called Mikra, Rav Soloveitchik said, because the Kriya itself has chashivas. Masha'ed King Mishnah is Vishinantam Levanecha, is Havana. And that's Torah Shabbal Peh, is all about Havana, and that's what Rav Chaim is about. My friend, Rav Lazer Katzman, who's a big Yadin, big Talmud Chacham in Sfarim, he told me two things that I think regarding Torah, regarding Rav Chaim. I just called him before to confirm what he had told me some years ago. He said like this, there's a Sefer, he thinks it's in the Sefer Ole Aaron, from Rav Eliyahu Aaron Milkovsky, who was a Talmud of Rav Chaim in Volozhin. And he discusses the days in Volozhin, and he discusses of how Rav Chaim would give shir. How did he make the shir? So he says he would make the shir by going around in the morning to the fellows in the Beis Medrash and asking them, so what's bothering you in the sugya? He would go to this chavrusa, that chavrusa, the other chavrusa, what's bothering you in the sugya? And then the shir would be collecting all the things that the various chavrusa were bothered by and make the shir from that. Because he wanted people to be thinking and learning. That's what's big with Rav Chaim. Thinking and learning, inside the base measure, outside, what we call trachten and learning. It's not like just a course. You come in, you take your notes, and now your mind is elsewhere. You have to be preoccupied, like Rabbi Braunschweigel Shlita says about the Taz. Loss of Bedivrei Sora is Asik. Like Braunschweigel said, like a businessman. He's always preoccupied. How can he do better in his business? What innovations can he make? So that's what Rav Chaim is. He wanted to, and that's what the shir was built about. This reminds me of my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldberg Satzal. You know, he would say you have to prepare for the shir kloli or whatever. He says, if you don't prepare for the shir, so then I come in, I make problems for you, and I give you solutions, but who needs me? You didn't have the problems before. So I make problems, I give you solutions. But it's not meaningful. But if you work in the sugya and you feel there's a problem here, and then somebody comes and gives you a solution, that's meaningful. So that's what I think is the idea of what Rav Katzman said over from Rav Milkovsky, how Rav Chaim would go around. Rav Chaim would go around to the Talmid, because he wanted them to think. It's not just to think. Work in the sugya, think. Use your head. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a head. Especially in this generation where everything is computerized and the machshava of the mind sometimes is put on freeze, and 100 years later we have to be mechazek the lessons of Rav Chaim. Another thing Rabbi Katzman told me, he said this he heard from Rav Soloveitchik after the shir in Moriah. He was walking in the west side, he was walking Rav Soloveitchik to the car, and Rav Soloveitchik told him the following. He said, when they had these Asifas Rabbonim in Europe, so I think nothing's changed. You know, who wants to go to meetings? You know, we don't go to a meeting. You know, too many meetings. You don't need meetings. But, you know, they had Asifas Rabbonim. Rav Chaim would be makbid to come early. Come early. Why would makbid even come early to a meeting? You know why? Because he considered Rav David Karlina, Rav David Friedman, the Yad David, which is a sefer that most of us don't use, which we should use. But when he wanted to give the Kovod HaTorah, that when Rav David Friedman would walk in, he should stand up. And therefore he would come early for this Asifas HaRabbanu. So that's the Torah. Purim, Torah Shabbal Peh, Rav Chaim born on Purim, etc. Avoda is also something has to do with Purim. Rav Chaim is born on Purim. As we know, Tefillah, it's brought in the Sfarim, called HaPoshet Yad, Nos Nimlo, also refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one of the famous pieces in Rav Chaim is the second piece in the Sefer, where he talks about the two types of requirements of Kavanah. He quotes what he considers a steer in the Rambam of what is Ma'akev in Kavanah of Tefillah. Perish Hamilos, or is that Ma'akev in the whole Shmoneh Esrei, part of the Shmoneh Esrei? So he has two Rambams. One Rambam seems to say that only Avos, the Kavana is Ma'akev, the first bracha, and the other Rambam is Mashra, the whole Shmoneh Esrei. And Reb Chaim says he thinks there are two different Kavanas that are being talked about. This classic Reb Chaim, that one is the Perish Hamilos, to understand what you're saying. That's Ma'akev only in the first bracha, but the idea that you have to realize that you're Omed Lefnei Hashem, that's Ma'akev in the whole Shmoneh Esrei. That idea of Omed Lefnei Hashem. And that's the avoda of tefillah. And this reminded me of a word that the Brisker Rav has in his Sefer on Chumash, where the Brisker Rav discusses the Gemara in Brachas on Chaf Dalet, when if a person has a talis and a belt which is covering his loins in the Mokam Erva, so then that's good enough. He can say Kriya Shema, because the erva is covered, his waist has like a gartle. But when it comes to what? Tfila? Achichases libo. Then his top has to be, because, and Rashi says, because the tfila is Omid Lefnei Hashem, Omid Lefnei HaMelech. And the Brisker Rav, this became a style of Brisker Chumash, of saying halachas in psukim in Chumash. So he says that that's the whole pshat in the Eitz Hadas, that before the Eitz Hadas there was no Yetz Sahara. So once there's, so that's why Shnei Marumim Lo Yisbo Shashu, because they didn't eat from the Eitz Hadas yet. So they could be totally unclothed. But once they ate from the Eitz Hadas, there's a din of Erva. So then what does it say? They put Chaguros, apparently the belt covered the Mokam Erva, and that was good. But when they heard Kol Hashem is Halech Bagan, then Vayishabe, then they had to cover themselves up, because that Kol Hashem, that's Omed Lefnei Hashem, and that's the idea. And that's the aspect of the Purim of Kol Poshe Yad Nostim Lo. And then of course Chesed. Reb Chaim was known for his great Chesed, of all the, you know, as in Rav Meller Sefer talks about, you know, Reb Chaim's house was basically Hefker. Anyone could come in. In fact, they tell a story Rav Meller has, that somebody, Reb Chaim went to the bookshelf and he saw there was a Gemara or something missing that he wanted to learn. And then he figured one of the guests who might be using it, and the guest said, well, I'm using it now, you know, so you have to go some, you know, otherwise he treated, you know, his home was, you know, he didn't sleep in his bed. His bed was usually taken. You know, it was beyond the, you know, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik always would say over that the different Rabbanim were asked, what's the key function of a Rav? And Rav Aaron says, Rav Chaim is to do chesed. But, and that's, of course, Purim is about Shalach Manos and Matanos Lavionim, etc. But, you know, the Sefer Apirion, that's the Kitzes Shulchan Aruch, says that the reason why we give Shalach Manos is to cover up the Matanos Lavionim. Because if you're only giving to the Avionim, they'll be embarrassed. But if everyone's giving everyone things, so everyone's giving everyone, so no one, you know, it's not as noticeable. That's what the Sefer Apirion says. So Rav Meller has in his Sefer that, you know, they say over that the Chofetz Chaim was such a big tzaddik that covered up his ga'onus. Rav Chaim was such a big ga'on, it covered up his tzidkus. But the Brisker Rav said no. Chofetz Chaim, he used his ga'onus to master his, he was a gaon in Hastoris HaGaonus, and Reb Chaim was a gaon in Hastoris HaTzidkus. And that's because a person, you know, has to be Hatznei Alechus. You do a lot of chesed, a lot of tztaka, a lot of things, but not that it should be flaunted in some, you know, Hatznei Alechus. You know, the Munkat Sharov has in the Sefer, you know, on the Pasuk, Hastoris LaShem Elokeinu V'Haniglos Lanu L'Vaneinu Ad Olam. He says, if you do good things and you don't tell anybody, you totally say so, then it's only going to be you and God, which is a nice thing, but no one's going to learn. So you have to be megala a little bit. Niglos lanu levaneinu. If you want to be lanu levaneinu, you have to be megala. So you have that to have that mizug of Hester and Giloy in the proper fashion. But that, Reb Chaim, of course, was known, but I'm sure whatever we know, there was so much that we didn't know. And that's so those are the three, the Torah Avodah, Gemilus Chasodim of Reb Chaim. And Reb Chaim was known also, as Reb Mel points out, for his simcha. It wasn't that austere type of personality. In fact, they say I don't know exactly how you know this, but he was known to only cry three times. Mel points out when he would say Lahoge Deos Beyond Din, Lekel Aruch Din, he would cry because there was my maisim. Okay, my maisim I could control, but my Deos, you know, my Hirhurim, have a kapeid on that is such a strong thing. And then he would cry. And then there was some Talmud, the story with Rav Yonah and Eifshitz, that a Talmud wanted to give a vakech mechila of something he did, and he went back to the Rebbe, and the time he was ready to go to the Rebbe, it was the time of the Levaya, and he wasn't able to be a vakech mechila. And then somebody from his mishpacha was known that he was able to write the Safa of the Medina, and that, okay, that's... caused some anguish, but in general he was ish simcha, and I think all these things are themes of Purim, and that's as not as known that Reb Chaim was born on Purim. So Rabotai, whenever we think about a gadol, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest gadol, but you should know that the Meshech Chochma says that Moshe Rabbeinu never initiated nisim. Always Hashem said Netei Yodcha. Why? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu initiate Nisim? He said because Moshe Rabbeinu was so great that he felt if he's going to initiate Nisim, then people are going to start to think that he's God, Chas V'Sholom. Because if you're not so great, no one's going to think that they're not going to think he's God. But if you're Moshe Rabbeinu and you start initiating Nisim, then who knows what the so the only one time he initiated a Nes was by Korach. That he made the Hashem didn't tell him to do that to split because there the Meshech Chochma says people were saying that he's taking all the kibbutzim for himself, and so they weren't holding him as such a high plateau, so then he could initiate. But so when we think of Gedolei Torah, we have to have ultimate respect and kavod and learn. But it's all, as Rabbi Lipa Gerlov once said, it's not about the person; it's about being a vehicle to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these ideas, we're not here to, you know, say how, you know, we emulate Reb Chaim, we're going to be Reb Chaim, but just learn, whatever we're holding, whatever Madrega we're on, up it to the next level, and be inspired by the Torah of Avodah, Gemilus Chasadim, Reb Chaim, and it's 100 years later, such a tremendous thing, and again, the Yashkel goes to Rabbi Goldstein, who said it's not right that we shouldn't, that this yeshiva shouldn't have something to be maskier, the memory of Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi and all the Hashpoa in the whole Torah world, and this yeshiva in specific, this Rav Tzurub Tzurah Chaim, and Be'ez Hashem, it should be an inspiration for us for many years to come.